Hello again. This is Carol Bond, returning with the Decatur Herald Review, dated March 29th, 2016. We'll begin this portion of our reading with the obituaries. Hattie S. Anderson, 103 years old, of Vandalia, Illinois, passed away Saturday, March 26th, at Vandalia. Services will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 30th, at First Christian Church, Vandalia, with Pastor Robert Francisco officiating. Burial will follow at Fairlawn Cemetery, Vandalia. Visitation will be held from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Wednesday at the church. Memorials to First Christian Church, Vandalia, Illinois. Miller Funeral Home is in charge of the arrangements. Lucille Bickle, 85, Arcola, died Saturday, March 26th. Services 11 a.m. Wednesday, Edwards Funeral Home, Arcola. Visitation 1 hour before services. Burial, Arcola Cemetery. Larry D. Boyer, Sr., 70, of Moquegua, died 6:40 p.m. Saturday, March 26th, in his residence. Graveside service to celebrate Larry's life will be 12 noon, Wednesday, March 30th, at Graceland Cemetery. There will be no visitation. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society. Victor M. Buth, 93, of Latham, passed away at 6:33 a.m. Sunday, March 27th, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Services for Victor will be 10 a.m. Friday, April 1st, at Pilgrim Lutheran Church, with Reverend William Abbott officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Thursday, March 31st, at Frick Calvert Schrader Funeral Home in Mount Pulaski. Burial at Lena Cemetery will follow the service. Memorials may be given to Pilgrim Lutheran Church or Latham Fire Department. Talina Jo Coslow, 22, and her unborn son, Elijah Owen Brooks, of Lovington, passed away at 10:57 a.m. Saturday, March 26th, at St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur. Funeral services will be held 10:30 a.m. Saturday, April 2nd, at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Lovington. Visitation will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, April 1st, at McMullen Young Funeral Home, Lovington. Burial will be in Keller Cemetery. Memorials may be made in care of the family. Martha Carol Malloy, 71, of Sterling, lifelong resident of Decatur, passed away Sunday, March 27th, at her daughter's home. Graveside services to celebrate the life of Martha Malloy will be 12:30 p.m. Wednesday, March 30th, at Macon County Memorial Park. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon, Wednesday, March 30th, at the Morin and Gerbel Funeral Home. Memorials may be directed to Geffey Home Nursing and Hospice, 3408 River Road, Sterling, Illinois, 61081. Matilda C. Rainier, 97, of Decatur, formerly of Forsyth, passed away on Saturday, March 26th, in Aperion Care, Decatur. Visitation will be Wednesday, March 30th, from 5 to 7 at the Morin and Gerbel Funeral Home. Vigil prayer service will be at 4:30 p.m. Mass of Christian burial will be 10 a.m. Thursday, March 31st, at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, Reverend Richard Welton, celebrant. Burial will take place in Calvary Cemetery, Decatur. Memorials may be made to Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church or Donor's Choice. Thomas S. Ward, 92, of Decatur, passed away Monday, March 21st. A graveside service to celebrate Tom's life was held at 1 p.m. Monday, March 28th, at Mount Gilead Cemetery. Memorials in memory of Tom may be made to Holy Family Parish. Royal E. Weber, 91, Nokomis, Army veteran, died Saturday, March 26th. Services, 10:30 a.m. Monday, McCracken Dean Funeral Home, Pena. Visitation, 4 to 8 p.m. Sunday. Burial, Mound Cemetery, Pena, with military rites. Memorials, Roy Ireland Post, 317, Oconee. We'll turn now back to page 3 again for the small section called A3 Briefs for Tuesday. This is an article from Harristown, Fire Death Cause. An autopsy on the body of Harriston fire victim John Gwynn concluded Monday that he died of carbon monoxide poisoning due to the inhalation of smoke and soot from the fierce blaze. Firefighters had pulled the body of Gwynn, 29, from the burnt-out shell of his home at 5565 Union School Road early Sunday. His pet dog also died in the fire, the cause of which remains under investigation. Macon County Coroner Michael E. Day said there was no indication of trauma or sign of violence. Mattoon, playing with matches. A child playing with matches caused a fire at Sunrise Apartments last week, according to fire department officials. One tenant was injured in the Wednesday night fire, which also caused extensive damage to the third floor of Building D of the complex. It also did water and smoke damage to lower floors. The fire also forced the relocation of 10 adults and children who were aided by the local office of the American Red Cross. And this from Matt Toon. Attack suspects sought. Police are seeking help locating four people who reportedly attacked a man with a baseball bat. The 37-year-old victim said the group attacked him in the 2300 or 2400 block of Commercial Avenue just before 6 p.m. Friday. Mattoon Police Deputy Chief Jason Taylor said the man received injuries to his head, face, arms, and legs, Taylor said. He said the man claimed the attack was an attempted robbery, but police suspect a possible drug deal or a dispute over a relationship with a woman as the cause. The suspects are described as a black man in his 30s, about 5 feet 9 inches tall, with a thin build and short hair, a white man in his 20s with a short, slim build, and another black male and white male, both with medium builds. Anyone with information about the incident should contact Coles County Crime Stoppers by email at colescountycrimestoppers.org or by text. Mattoon Police may also be privately message via Facebook. The Tribune News Service includes this article in the lifestyle section. The headline is Home Plus Housewares Show Puts Spotlight on Cool and Trendy. The 2016 International Home Housewares Show wrapped up earlier this month after visitors by the tens of thousands spent 4 days trooping through Chicago's sprawling McCormick Place Convention Center, logging enough collective steps to make Fitbit's computer service whimper from overuse. More than 2,200 exhibitors were there, showing off their products to buyers from around the world. I got to check out everything from room fresheners to robotic floor cleaners. Never have I had so many trash cans nod at me with their motion-sensing lids as I passed. It's hard to choose favorites, but here are some of the products that caught my eye. Some are available now, while others won't reach stores until later in the year. First, the Pancake Bot. This 3D pancake printer was clearly the star of the show. The tricked-out griddle turns out hotcakes in pretty much any design you can think up, from the Eiffel Tower to Donald Trump's face. The computerized gadget has a bridge that travels above the cooking surface, squirting out batter to draw the pre-programmed design. It builds the pancake in layers, allowing some parts to get browner and creating the contrast that makes certain features stand out. You can create your own design if you want, or you can use one shared by an online community of pancake designers, said Slim Garinsar of Storebound, the company that's producing the device. You can also program it to make multiple pancakes at once. At $299, it's a pricey novelty. It's available at pancakebot.com. Next, we have the Nugeni Stiva, which is 4 cleaning tools in one. Perfect if you're short on storage space or just like the idea of simplifying your cleaning supplies. The Stiva's interchangeable parts allow it to be used as either a steamer or a cordless vacuum cleaner, and in either upright or handheld form. The steamer heats to 248 degrees Fahrenheit, hot enough to sanitize surfaces, said Josh Levitt, a vice president with the family-run company. The bagless vacuum cleaner has a HEPA filtration system and a turbo mode to suck up the heaviest debris. The steamer operates with an electrical cord. The vacuum has a battery that lasts 30 to 40 minutes of constant use and recharges in about 2.5 hours, Levitt said. The Stiva is expected to be in stores in the fall. Suggested retail price is $399 or $499 for a model that comes with additional accessories. Next, Vintage Charm Pyrex. Pyrex is going back in time, but with a twist. World Kitchen, the company that makes the cookware brand, has reimagined some of the classic Pyrex designs for a new line of bowls called Vintage Charm, inspired by Pyrex. The designs are contemporized versions to 6 patterns that were used on opal glass pieces in the 1950s and 60s, including the popular farm-themed butter print. The bowls are available individually and in sets. Suggested retail prices for single bowls range from $7 to $15. The Bruno Smart Can. I didn't think it was possible to improve on the wastebasket. Then I saw the Bruno Smart Can. Bruno's handiest feature is its floor-level vacuum inlet, which sucks in all the crumbs and dirt you sweep up to it and dumps it right into the trash bag lining the can. You don't even have to turn it on. The suction starts when it senses a broom in front of the inlet. Its lids open when it senses motion, too. But that's not all. The Bruno Smart Can even has a smartphone app that reminds you to take out the trash on trash day and alerts you when you're low on bags. Bruno comes in 5 colors and is currently available for pre-order at $179 at brunosmartcan.com. Next is the Lid Sid. It's great to find a gadget that solves a problem. It's even better to find one that makes you smile at the same time. Meet Lid Sid, a pot watcher from a home accessories maker aptly called Monkey Business. Lid Sid hangs on the edge of a pot to keep the lid ajar, but it does so with panache. It looks like a little person who's draped over the side, arms hanging down on one side, legs on the other. Lid Sid sells in packs of 2 for around $15. It's sold by specialty shops, or you can order it online from sources including Monkey Business's website, mnkbusiness.com. Next, the Swing and Serve Cooker. Slow cooker manufacturers have caught on that people like using their products to keep food hot at parties, but the crocks take up a lot of room and hog the power outlets. Not the Crock-Pot Swing and Serve Slow Cooker. The appliance combines 3 slow cookers into one device. It's like a 2-story system, with 1 3.5-quart cooker on the first floor and 2 1.5-quart cookers on the second. The upper units are attached to movable arms so they can swing out for serving or fold in for storage. Each cooker operates independently, but they all share 1 power cord. The Swing and Serve Cooker is expected to be available in the fall. Suggested retail prices are $79 for black and $99 for stainless steel. Next, Air Crazy On Demand. Move aside, microwave popcorn. West Bend is out to make air popcorn just as convenient. The company's Air Crazy On Demand Air Popper stores 16 ounces of popping corn and dispenses just enough kernels to pop 1 to 4 cups of popcorn, dispensed right into your bowl. You can keep it on your counter and use it whenever you feel like a snack. It's simple enough for kids to use, too. The popper has a suggested retail price of $40 or $50 for a version with a self-cleaning cycle that blows away debris. It is expected to reach stores in the fall. No author is listed for this article, but there are a couple of amazing photographs. One is of some pancakes made from the PancakeBot pancake printer, and they are the faces of the presidential candidates, and they are clearly recognized from their faces on these pancakes. Also pictured are the Swing and Serve slow cooker, which looks very strange to me, and the Air Crazy Popcorn On Demand, which looks really cool. If you've ever gone to an Illinois State Fair, this seems like a good article to pay attention to. It's an editorial written by the staff of the Herald and Review. Headline is, State Fairs Need to Provide Their Own Support. Governor Bruce Rauner wants to establish a private foundation to help with repairs at sites at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield and DuQuoin. It's a good idea, in fact, one that should have been completed years ago. Hopefully, it will be the beginning of lessening taxpayer support for the state's two fairs. Rauner's proposed bill would allow a private foundation to be established to raise money to support the fairgrounds, which combined have a backlog of $180 million in deferred maintenance projects. Rauner said Missouri, Iowa, Indiana, and Wisconsin all have private foundations that support their state fairs. We can't overly rely on state funds to maintain these facilities, he said. We've got to come up with creative solutions that don't pressure our taxpayers more. The future of the legislation in the toxic atmosphere that hangs over Springfield is uncertain. Although the idea is worthy and seems harmless enough, House Speaker Michael Madigan hasn't been open to similar ideas in the past. This spring, he set up a task force to look into an agreement between the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity and the newly formed Illinois Business and Economic Development Corporation. It remains to be seen whether the task force is truly going to study the idea or is just a way to delay implementation in hopes it will go away. The Fair Foundation idea is a solid one, although it doesn't go far enough. We're hopeful that Rauner has bigger plans to make the state fairs less of a burden to taxpayers. For starters, the state doesn't need two taxpayer-supported fairs, especially in the current budget situation. What Rauner didn't mention is that many of the biggest and best state fairs, Texas, Minnesota, and Iowa, for example, thrive with little or no taxpayer support. Most of these are private, nonprofit operations that fund their annual events through profits, donations, and corporate sponsorships. Illinois can't transition to that model overnight. However, it's a good time to start. Such creative solutions will be needed since the overall trend at the two fairs is down. Attendance is down, revenues are down, and so is participation by vendors. It doesn't help that the vendors and award winners from last year's fairs haven't been paid because of the state budget crisis. The General Assembly needs to get behind the idea of a foundation to help out the fairs and do it quickly. This is common sense legislation. After that, Rauner and the General Assembly should also take a hard look at ways to lessen or eliminate the state fair burden on taxpayers. Another columnist, Steve Chapman, who is a blogger for the Chicago Tribune, has a featured column on the editorial page, and his headline is "Tobacco Out of the Ballpark." Fans do not attend Major League Baseball games to enhance their physical health. Among their customary activities are eating hot dogs, drinking beer or sugary soda, sitting idly for hours on end, and stressing terribly about inconsequential events on the field of play. But this season, those at Wrigley Field and U.S. Cellular Field will have to forgo one vice. Chicago recently became the fourth city to outlaw smokeless tobacco in sports stadiums, followed shortly by New York. The law owes much to the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, whose president, Matthew Myers, says, "Our national pastime should be about promoting a healthy and active lifestyle, not a deadly and addictive product. But don't worry, Miller Coors and Anheuser-Busch, he's not talking about your wares. Alcohol is one deadly and addictive product that will remain legal, welcome, and profitable at professional sports venues. Some venues, Miller Park, Busch Stadium, Coors Field, are even named after brewing giants. Alcohol is not just for fans either. What do players do in the locker room after winning a title? They spray and drink enough champagne to float a battleship. Not everyone is happy about the new law. Cubs pitcher John Lackey, who doesn't use smokeless tobacco, took the position that, quote, grown men should have their own choice. Catcher Miguel Montero lamented, it's going to be tough to quit cold turkey. But the most cogent objection came from Cubs manager Joe Madden, evincing an affinity for libertarian principles. I'm into personal freedoms, he said. I'm not into over-legislating the human race. He even offered a modest counterproposal. Educate the masses and let everybody make their own decision. Illinois already forbids smoking in stadiums on the grounds that watching the White Sox attempt to catch and throw the ball, they were the worst defensive team in baseball last season, is miserable enough without having to peer through someone else's cigarette fumes. Not only that, but secondhand smoke carries health risks to innocent bystanders, including death from cancer. But secondhand spit is a danger only to your shoes, not your lungs. The person in front of you could be getting a nicotine fix without your ever being aware of it, much less injured by it. The difference between banning cigarettes and banning snuff is the difference between minding your business and butting into everyone else's. Using these products is less hazardous than sucking on paper cylinders stuffed with burning leaves, but it's not harmless. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, smokeless tobacco causes cancer of the mouth, esophagus, and pancreas, among other maladies. The danger gained attention when two baseball legends who chewed tobacco, Tony Gwynn and Curt Schilling, contracted oral cancer, which in Gwynn's case was fatal. But it remains a legal commodity that adults are allowed to consume at their own risk, like brews and bratwurst. The campaign for tobacco-free kids justifies its overbearing demand with the pretext that it's for the good of the children. Players' use of smokeless tobacco sets a terrible example for millions of impressionable youth, it says. A complete ban in baseball is essential to protect our kids, end quote. Major League players are not allowed to use smokeless tobacco when interacting with fans or on the field. Column continues, that should be enough. It accommodates reasonable goal of not encouraging kids to use tobacco and the right of players and coaches and fans to exercise their own preference. Chapman says, as addictive habits go, chewing tobacco is bad, but over-legislating the human race is worse. This has been Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated March 29th, 2016. I look forward to reading with you again next week.